16 this morning, Matthew chapter number 16. Might be a little bit dreary outside, but a little bit cheery inside. We've got the Christmas lights up and the decorations, so I always love this time of year. Matthew chapter number 16. Very simple message today. You know, we've been talking a lot about in our evening Thursday night services about discipleship and the importance of trying to help people grow as Christians. And this morning, the Lord just put on my heart, why don't I preach a message on being a disciple, not making disciples and not trying to help develop disciples, but just being a disciple. It'd be good that we figured out what one is. And so the title of the message is just simply the form of a question: are you a disciple? Now, most of us would say, of course I am. Yeah, if I'm saved, yeah, I'm a disciple. Are you a disciple? We'll answer that as we get through the scriptures here. And we're going to begin here in verse number 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Not a good idea to try to rebuke the Lord and correct him. But he turned and said unto him, unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. That just proves that sometimes even disciples get a little wayward. Then in verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We'll get back to verse 24 a little bit later here, but let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the time that you've given us this morning to be in church. Thank you that everyone made an effort to come out, and for some it was quite an effort. Pains and aches and trials and turmoils and disappointments. And Lord, sometimes the devil likes to get us distracted and so down that he tries to get us to even not come to church. And that's the time we need it the most. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that we're all here. And help us as we consider this topic and to see if we really are a disciple, the type of disciple that you'd want us to be, and not to just pat ourselves on the back to think that we're pretty good when sometimes we're not. And I just pray that it would be convicting, challenging, helpful, and Lord, that you'd accomplish your purpose in this message. Lord, you gave the message for a reason, and I pray you'd just help us all in some way, and that you'll be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of the word disciple, we often think about the 12 disciples of Jesus. But what we don't realize sometimes, some people don't realize that there's a whole lot more than 12 disciples in the Bible. There were hundreds of disciples in the Bible. Not all of them were mentioned by name. Sometimes they were mentioned as a group. But hundreds of disciples, more than just 12. And God wants all of us to be disciples. He wants us all to be saved and then to follow him. And in order to determine if we are a disciple, then we ought to consider what one is. And so I'm just going to get straight into the message and got a couple points here. First point is this. We want to look at the definition of a disciple. Good idea to figure out what one is. There, if you look up the word disciple, it's basically three definitions that'll help us. And if we consider each one of them, it'll help us. One is a disciple is a learner. Another one is he's a trainee. And the third one, he's a follower. And so as we look at each one of those, it'll help you to understand what a disciple is a little bit better. So first of all, a disciple is a learner. The key to becoming a disciple is learning more about Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29, he told us that he said, learn of me. We're supposed to be learning more about Jesus. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. We need to be learning more about him and getting to know him better. Because let's face it, none of us are as good as Jesus. None of us have got all of his qualities down. You know, you might be loving and amen, but you might have some room for improvement in that area. you might care about people's needs and sacrifice and give of yourself, but really as much as Christ? Probably not. Definitely not. And so a learner, we've got to learn of about the Lord. In fact, that's very similar to what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18. He told us, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's part of growing as a Christian. Every disciple should be growing and learning. And you never get to the place where you know too much or you know enough. We all ought to get to know the Bible more and the Lord more. That's what a disciple does. He's a learner. And if I'm a disciple, it doesn't matter how old I am. It doesn't matter how long I've been saved. It doesn't matter how long I've been serving him. I have to continue to learn about him and to learn his ways and to become more familiar with him. And when we think of learning, we often think of school. Oh, yeah, I'm glad I'm out of school. Well, I guess I still am. I teach. A disciple is a student. What are students supposed to do? Study. I know that's a new word for some students. You'd think that some don't study. It's true that some don't. And that's why they don't do very well. But as a disciple, that means I'm a learner. That means you're a learner. If you want to be a disciple, you've got to be a learner. You've got to study. You've got to study the Word of God. You've got to know more about Him. And disciples, if we're going to have learning, we got to have teachers. You know, our church is filled with teachers. There's all sorts of people who've been at this for a while. We've got different people get up and preach, different people get up and teach. We've got Sunday school classes. We've got a lot of different adult Sunday school classes. We've got all sorts of things going on here. And if you ride on the bus routes, we've got people who come and visit, probably at your home every week. They know the Bible. They would like to sit down and take the Bible and teach you and help you learn it more. We all need a teacher. I need a teacher. I need to keep learning. We all need to keep learning. If we're going to have learning, we need books. And of course, we've got the book. The word Bible means the book. That's what the word Bible means. It is the book. And that's the book we ought to be studying. How much do you study it? If you don't study it much, you're not much of a disciple. We need to know this book. I love studying the Bible. I love digging in and seeing stuff that I haven't, really seen before. It's fun to read the Bible for my devotions. It's fun to read the Bible for family devotions. It's exciting when God is speaking. It's exciting when we come to church and the preacher gets up and he preaches about something that we've always had that question. It's like, I've always wondered about that passage. And then we get the answer right there when we come to church. It's exciting. And a disciple needs to learn. If you go into a classroom, you know, not much learning is going on, right? The drool's coming down. That happens sometimes in church too, right? When that happens, there's no learning going on. We need to have learning. We've got to study. We have books. By the way, we got a bookstore with good Christian books down there. Christian books that teach us how to pray, how to witness, how to handle our money in a biblical fashion, how to serve, how to raise our children, how to have a good marriage. There are so many good Christian books. You know, the Bible's a big book, and we ought to study it, but it's also good to be able to pick up some books of some knowledgeable people who have studied the Bible and certain topics and put some of that together so you can go and get a book and learn some of those important key truths about that topic that you need in your life the most. We ought to always be learning. Are you a learner? When's the last time you read your Bible? I hope it was this morning. When's the last time you picked up a good Christian book? You know, we try to teach our kids reading. Well, if it's all pleasure reading, there's not a lot of learning going on there. If I'm going to read, I'm going to spend time reading. I want to learn something. I want something that's going to help me. I want something that's going to change me. I want something that's going to make me better. I want to learn something that I can take and teach someone else. That ought to be our goal, our desire. So a disciple's a learner. Second definition is a disciple's a trainee. Now, trainees need training. I know it's really deep, isn't it? It's like you come to church, it's like, yeah, you get deep stuff here. Trainees need training. Maybe you've been like me, you've gone into the fast food restaurant, and you had the good fortune of being waited on by that new employee, right? And sometimes they even have that very humiliating tag that says, trainee. You know, man, if I'm a trainee, I don't want everyone. But why did they put that on there? Because so that you don't get frustrated when they don't get the order right, when they're slow, when they're unsure of themselves, when they don't give you the change properly. It's amazing. And so when that worker is slow and unsure of himself and he makes mistakes and we know he's a trainee, we're like, okay, we'll put up with that a little bit. But that describes a new Christian too, doesn't it? A lot of times new Christians are just starting out. They got a lot of things to learn. And you say, well, I keep making mistakes. Well, keep on learning. Keep on training. Keep on getting close to Jesus. Keep on being a disciple. Part of being a disciple is just to keep on pressing on and keep on doing it until you do it right. We got to keep on moving on. And perhaps you're helping in a ministry and you look around and see someone else doing something better than you do. Maybe they're up in a Sunday school class or in the bus route or they're telling a story or whatever they're doing. And you're like, man, I wish I could tell a story like that. You're in training. Keep on going. Don't quit. Don't give up. And disciples continue to train. They continue to try to get better. So we all ought to be doing. Try to get better. Then a disciple, thirdly, is a follower. He's a follower. The record of Matthew's call, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew was one of the 12 disciples. In Matthew chapter number 9, we have his call. And this provides a very clear picture for us of this idea of following. A disciple needing to be a follower. In Matthew chapter number 9, look in verse number 9 with me. And as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and did what? He followed him. That's pretty clear. A true disciple of Jesus is someone who follows him. Christ's command, that command, follow me, is found 15 times in the gospel. That means to me it's a little bit important. He wouldn't have to keep saying it over and over. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. That is what he wants all of us to do. Are you a disciple? If you're a disciple, you will follow him. That's his will. That's his plan for our life. A lot of times we don't want to follow him. But following Christ is what disciples do. And if we don't, we're not disciples. Here's a couple of examples of following Christ and the disciples following him in Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Then also in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Did you get the idea? Disciples follow. And when following Christ, there's two things that are very important. And we're going to see those. One of them we mentioned there in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. We already read that verse. I'll give you these two things that are important when we're following Christ. Following Christ, first of all, involves self-denial, or denial of self, the denial of self. In Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That word deny means to disown. A disciple needs to utterly turn his back on his own will. when his will is in conflict with God's will. There's things in my life that I want to do. But if God wants me to do something else, if I'm going to be a disciple, if I'm going to follow, I have to abandon my will, turn my back on it, deny it, disown it, and say, I know that's what I really want to do, but no. And then I need to follow the Lord. A disciple has to tell himself no repeatedly. And that's our problem. We don't want to tell ourselves no. We want to tell ourselves yes. That's what I want to do. And that's not easy for us to do, especially if we've lived a life with very few personal restraints. All right? If you just live your life, if you've lived your life for so long just doing what you want, when you want to do, and by the way, parents, that's why you don't let your children do that. If you let your children do what they want to do, you are making it very hard for them to become a disciple of Christ. Because you are training them and allowing them to do their own thing instead of doing what God wants, and they're not following. They're fulfilling their own lust, their own desires. And that makes it really hard. And so as parents, this is all free apart parenting here, you've got to tell your kids no. Sometimes my kids would say, Dad, can I have this or can I do this? And sometimes I'd say no just to say no. Just because they don't need to get their way all the time. It doesn't help them. Because if they do think that they're going to get their way all the time when they grow up, they're going to think they're going to get their way all the time with God. And it doesn't work that way. And that's our problem sometimes. Some of us, we were let go. And we let ourselves go. And we do what we want to do. We'll do a few things for the Lord, but then those things that we don't want to do, we don't do, and we do our own thing. We're not disciples, are we? Because we're not following. Following Christ involves denial of self. It says, let him deny himself. No. You don't get to do that, Dave. No. You don't. No. Following Christ involves not only denial of self, but a death to self. See, denial of self is just the beginning. But what follows is a whole lot more challenging. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, very similar passage to this one in Luke 16, says, if any man will come after me, being a disciple. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. During the Roman rule, prisoners were often made to carry their own crosses to the site of their crucifixion. And when Christ spoke of taking up the cross, the people in his day fully understood what that meant. If he said, take up your cross and follow me, what he was saying, you're going to die. Now, he was, in some cases, that was literal, yeah, but what he was trying to say figuratively also, Jesus was going to soon be carrying his own cross, and soon he was going to be crucified. And in this passage, he was asking his disciples to sacrifice their lives, their plans, their desires for him. That's what Paul meant when he said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice. That you would die to self. You know, I haven't died yet. But I'm thinking it could hurt. I've almost died a couple times, and those times hurt. I didn't like those times. But dying to self is not actually a one-time event. The Bible here says in that passage in Luke, he says that we're supposed to take up our cross daily. Every day, I've got to die to self? Ouch. I don't want to. Well, and when I don't want to, I get in problems. And so do you. That's where our problems come when we rebel and resist God's will. Paul echoed the words of Christ when he testified in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. You say, oh, the Apostle Paul was a great man. Yeah, he was great because he was a good disciple. Every day he had to tell himself no, and every day he told himself no. That doesn't mean he was perfect. Doesn't mean he told himself no all the time that he should have. But he said every day it was a daily battle. Don't you find that true? Isn't it a daily battle? It is. Well, we can't sugarcoat this thing. Being a disciple, you know, when you're working with someone and you're trying to get them to become a disciple, don't sugarcoat it. Let them know, hey, this is tough. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be times where you're going to have to tell yourself no. There's going to be times where you're going to have to die to your own desires and your own plans so that you can follow the Lord. And if we don't deny ourselves, we don't die to our desires, we're not going to be able to follow Him. It's very simple. And let's be honest. We don't always feel like dying to self. And that's why we get into trouble. So that's our first thought. And that was the definition of a disciple. Let's look at, secondly, the distinctions of a disciple. Some distinctions. The Bible gives us other marks of a disciple. There's more involved than just learning and training and following. Those are good. Those are the beginnings. But there's some other things that the Bible says ought to be in our lives if we're a disciple. So I'm going to go through some of these passages, and you check yourself and ask, is this in my life? Because if it's not in your life, you don't have the mark of a disciple. We need to have these things. And so we can sit here and say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a disciple, I do this. But if I'm not doing all these other things, I'm not the disciple maybe I thought I was, or that I should be, or that God expects me to be. So let's look at a few of these distinctions, these marks of being a disciple. First one is this. It's found in John chapter number 8, verse 31. First one, disciples are faithful to the Bible. That's what a disciple is. Jesus then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, a disciple continues in the word of God. He's faithful to the word of God. Not only does he read it, but he heeds it. And if we're not faithful to God's word and continuing in it, if you went this week and didn't read your Bible, you're not a disciple. You're not. Yes, I am. I'm saved. You might be saved, but you're not a disciple. You're not a follower. Because Jesus very clearly said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Here's another mark. Disciples, it's found in John 13, verse 35. Second mark of a disciple, second distinction is disciples love one another. Oh, yeah. We find that in John 13, verse 35. But this shall all men know, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if, here's that word if again, your disciples if ye have love one to another. Now, if you're at odds with another Christian, and you haven't tried to reconcile those differences, are you acting like a disciple? Are you having love one toward another? No. We ought to at least try to reconcile those differences. We ought to have love one for another. And by the way, love, you do a study on love sometime, you're going to see love forgives. Part of loving someone is forgiving them. Part of loving is putting up with them. Part of loving is being kind. And we need to have this one toward another. See, that's a mark of discipleship. If there's someone in some other believer that, and you look at him, you see him as like, you know, those bad feelings come in your heart every time you see him. Oh man, why don't you stay on that other side of the auditorium? Glad you're sitting over there, because I'm sitting over here on purpose. Then there's a problem. We ought to get that thing taken care of. Another mark of a disciple is disciples witness for Christ. That's what disciples do. A disciple is a follower of Christ. Now consider what happens when we follow Him. In Matthew 4:19, and He saith unto them, follow me. Now watch what happens. And I will make you fishers of men. So Christ says, follow me, be my disciple, follow me. And if I'm going to follow Him, He says, then I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you a witness. We will be involved and we will be interested in soul winning. We will be interested in the needs of lost people. And when we're not, then we are not disciples. We're not followers of Christ. He wants us to follow Him. It's easy to say, I'm a follower. It's easy to say, I'm a disciple. But as we're looking at it, it's a little bit more difficult to live it, isn't it? Let's not pat ourselves on the back too quickly then. So disciples, they witness for Christ. The fourth thing, disciples teach others. In John chapter 15, verse number 8. Jesus said, here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, how am I going to be a disciple? How can we be his disciples? If we bear much fruit. Now, that fruit is talking about of souls being saved, but not just souls being saved, but discipling them. Because at the couple of verses later, down there in verse 7 or 16, it says that God wants our fruit to remain. That's someone who gets saved and we teach them and help them and guide them and enable them to grow. And they get to become disciples and followers and serving the Lord. And then they begin to train others. And that mark, when we can point and say, not by our own self and our own strength, but we can point and say, by God's grace, He allowed me to help this one come to Christ. He allowed me to, even if we're not the one that led them to Christ, but He allowed me to teach them and disciple them and help them to grow and help them to learn how to pray and help them to learn how to witness. You see, when we can do that, then Jesus said, we are disciples. He says, so shall ye be my disciples. So in order to be a good disciple, we need to try to disciple other people. It's important. That's a mark of discipleship. Now, here's another one. Disciples, if we go back to that Matthew 9:9, where we're talking about the call of Matthew to discipleship there. Disciples put God before money. Ooh, this one's tough. No, go back to Matthew again and notice that he left his job of collecting money to become to follow the Lord. In that verse 9:9 in Matthew says, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom and saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now he had a job. His job was to collect money. And when you just get up and walk off your job, you don't usually keep that job. He's given up his cash. He's given up his income. Now, God's not necessarily saying in this passage that we're all supposed to just go quit our job and follow Him full time. We are supposed to follow Him all the time. But what it is showing us, though, here's a true disciple. And what did he do? He said, the Lord is first. And when He says, follow me, and if it's going to cost me money, I'm going to lose that money because it's going to be more important to follow Him. Let's put it where the rubber meets the road. When you have an opportunity to work overtime on Sunday and miss church, if you're a disciple, you'll be in church. And you'll say, I'm going to give up that overtime because I'm a disciple. I'm going to follow the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. Follow the Lord. We might give up some extra work, some extra overtime, some extra income, so that we can be in church, so that we can be in ministry, so that we can do more for the Lord. You know, God might want someone in here to go into full-time Christian service. And you say, man, but I won't make the money that I would make if I pursue this. That's okay. If you want to be a disciple, you might not have the biggest house. You might not have the fanciest car. But you're following Christ. And that's not too bad. It's actually pretty good. Disciples are obedient. That's another mark. Disciples are obedient. Jesus had sent his disciples on an errand. And he told them to go into a village and find a donkey and its colt tied up and to bring it to him. Now, I've thought about this many times. I'm thinking, man, what would I have done? And Jesus said, you just go into that village and you see this donkey and this colt tied up and you just take it. I'm thinking, yeah. And if someone tells you, asks you, why are you doing this? And I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to ask me why you're doing this. They're going to put me in jail for this. Then you just tell them, oh yeah, the Lord needs him. I'm thinking, yeah, right. They're going to buy that one. And so that's not a real comfortable thing. That's not a real convenient thing. So Jesus is asking them to do something that's not really comfortable, not really convenient. Hey, you just go there and do that. I don't know about you, but I'd be like, the whole way thinking, how am I going to do this? I'd be praying. I don't even know if I might even chicken out by the time I get there. But in Matthew 21, verse 6, and the disciple says, it said, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. Why? Because they were disciples. Disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. It doesn't matter if it's comfortable. It doesn't matter if it's convenient. It's a matter of whether God wants us to do it. And if he wants us to do something, maybe God's working on you, and you're like, yeah, something. It doesn't matter if you really feel like doing it or not. You must do it because God said to do it. And trust him to work out the details. I don't know who that might fit this morning, but it probably fits someone. Follow God. That is a mark of discipleship. So we've seen the definition of disciple. We've seen some distinctions of disciples. Now I want to give you the last point, and that's the deterrence of a disciple. The deterrence. If you're not a disciple, and you're not following as you should, that means there's something hindering you from following the Lord. And perhaps there's some people here, you want to be a disciple. You really do. Maybe you even tried and you found it difficult. And you quit, you stumbled, whatever. Well, let's consider some things that tend to hinder disciples from following the Lord. And if we can identify those things, then we can deal with them and return to following the Lord as we should. Let's look at the first one. If you turn with me to John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. Find a very noble man here in John 19. But he wasn't always so noble. And we see one of the first deterrents, one of the first hindrances of being a disciple in this verse, chapter 19, verse number 38. And that first one is fear. Fear. Verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple. So this is after this, we're talking about after Christ was crucified. Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Okay, he was a disciple, but look what that next phrase says. But what? But secretly for fear of the Jews. He besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Of course, Nicodemus and he, they anointed him with a very costly amount of mixtures of spices and buried him in an expensive grave. But up until this point, now here he's bold. Here he goes in and he speaks and he desires from Pilate the body of Jesus. But he wasn't always that bold. The Bible says that he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. Why? For fear of the Jews. He didn't want them to know, because if they knew he was a follower of Jesus, he figured that he might get kicked out of the synagogue or not allowed in the temple or whatever it was. He was afraid. And that's one of the biggest problems. That's one of the biggest reasons why we don't follow the Lord, because we get filled with fear. God wants us to do something and we don't do it. Can't do that. Thankfully, Joseph faced his fears and he followed openly. And he was no longer a secret disciple. In fact, his name's in the Bible. Because he finally took a stand. Are you a secret disciple? Where you work, people you know, they don't even know you're saved. They don't even know you follow the Lord. You keep it a secret. Now, that's not really a disciple. You're not very effective. We can't allow fear and what other people think to stop us from following the Lord. Here's another deterrent. Here's another thing that hinders us. Not only fear, but also selfishness. In Luke chapter number 9, verse 59, we have this account. Jesus was speaking to a few different people and trying to get them to follow him. Others were saying, Lord, I'll follow you. And here he says in Luke 9, 59, and he said unto another, follow me. That's the idea of you become a disciple. Follow me. Here's the command. Follow me. But he, the man who he said that to, said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Again, that sounds really faithful to his family. There's no indication that his father was even dead. It was just a matter of fact, you know, let me spend some more time with my dad. And, you know, he's getting up there in age maybe. And when he's dead and I get him buried, then I'll have time to come and follow you. That's not what he said. He said, follow me. He didn't say, wait. What was the problem here? We find it in those words. Those words right there in verse 59. Me first. That's selfishness. Lord, let me first do my will. Let me do what I want to do, and then I will follow you. How many times do you make deals with God? God says, I want you to do this. And you say, I'll do it, but I'll do it when I get this, this, and this ready, and when I get this and this accomplished in my life. Some people say, well, I'll start tithing when I get all my bills in order, when I get my budget figured out. I'll start going soul winning. I'll start doing this. And we have all these different reasons and things that we've got to do before we follow the Lord. Selfishness. That's what hinders us. Me first. I want to do my will. That's why I'm not going to follow him. We are very selfish people. I don't know about you. I find that about me. It's disappointing. Here's another one. So one of the deterrents is fear. Another is selfishness. Third one is prayerlessness. In Matthew 26, verse number 36, we see Jesus. He's coming close to time to be crucified. He's got his disciples with him. He brought them and he wants them to pray. He wants them to spend time in prayer. He's going through a hard time. He's going to die on the cross and he needs some prayer. And so in verse 36, 26 verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, what? Verse 36 now, then of verse 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, the disciples failed because they didn't pray. Why didn't they pray? Because sleep was more important. We like sleep, don't we? Oh, yeah. We like sleep. Every morning we have an opportunity to be a disciple. We can get up on time and spend some time in prayer. And if we don't, and we choose sleep instead of time with the Lord, we're not a disciple. Just think, every morning you got a decision to make. You can start the day off right by being a disciple, by getting in the Bible and having a time of prayer and following the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing every day without fail. Here's the last one, the last deterrent, and that's unbelief. If you would, you could turn with me to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter 17, we're going to look at two passages for this last deterrent of unbelief. Matthew 17. Okay, unbelief. We've got this account where the Lord had called his disciples, he empowered them, he's given them power over demons. And we pick it up there in verse number 15. And there was a man who came to Jesus, and he was very concerned because his son was possessed with a demon. In verse 15, Lord, he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and into the water. So this demon was tormenting this kid. This demon was controlling this kid and making this kid fall into the fire or into the water, either being burned or drowned. And here's this demon trying to destroy. And by the way, that's the devil. He's always out to destroy people. He's not out there to help you. You don't need to be playing with a Ouija board. You don't need to be going to reading the horoscopes. You don't need to be, you know, doing all these different things that open the door to the devil. He's not going to help you. Oh no, he's just there to destroy you. And verse 16, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now it's interesting because they were given power over all the demons, but they couldn't cure him in this case. Verse number 19, so the disciples are a bit stumped. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief. That was simple. God had given them power, and they failed to cast out the demon, and the simple reason is because they didn't believe God. They're trying to do something and not even believing it's going to happen. And sometimes we don't believe God will do what he says he's going to do. We don't believe God's going to work in someone's heart. That's why we don't witness. We don't believe that God's going to provide for us. That's why we don't tithe or sacrifice to do a little bit more, because I don't know if God's going to, you know, help me out here. We don't believe God's going to really work in our children's lives and change our children, so that's why we don't correct them like we should, because we just don't believe it. We get discouraged. We look at the circumstances, and we just give up. Listen, we've got to have faith that when God says something, he's going to do it. And sometimes we just have to believe against all of what we see. Faith, to me, is believing God despite the circumstances. The circumstances could be so out of control, so horrible. But when God says he can do something, he can do it. And you hang on, and you trust him. And when I have unbelief, and when you have unbelief, and we're not trusting God, that hinders us from following him. I'm afraid. I don't have belief. I'm not praying. All of these things work together, and we've got to overcome these things. But unbelief can also show up in another way. Another kind of unbelief that might be affecting someone here today. Perhaps you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter number 6, there was a large group of people who followed Jesus. And the Bible in verse number 60 says that they were disciples. This large group, many disciples there. However, we learned something very important from the passage, and that was that not all people, now watch this, not all people who follow Christ or try to follow Christ are actually saved. Jesus said that very clearly in John 6:64. He said, but there are some of you, talking to that group of disciples, he said, there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Of course, who betrayed him? That was none other than Judas. So there were many that didn't believe. Then he even talked about the one particular one, Judas, who actually stayed with him for a while. He was a disciple. He was following. He wasn't saved. And there are a whole bunch of other people who were following and trying to act spiritual and trying to act holy for a little bit, but they weren't saved. Many disciples stopped following him. In verse number 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? They had never truly believed. They weren't saved. And that teaches us in a very valuable lesson that we do not get saved by doing good works. You don't get saved by trying to be like Jesus. If you are like Jesus, then you are saved. You should be acting like him. You should be following him. But you don't get saved that way. You can't confuse salvation and discipleship. They're two different things. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are you saved. It's by grace. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You don't get saved by following and doing all the things that he does. It's by trusting Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. And in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, the verse that follows, he says that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yes, after I get saved, then I should follow. I should have those good works. Those good works should follow. But if you're trying to get saved by changing your life and doing all sorts of good things, you're not going to get saved that way.